Blog Talk Radio.
Evening. Oh, good evening. This is your host, Pastor Armstrong. I welcome you to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. I want to say thank you for taking out your time on this, what is this, Super Bowl Sunday, to listen to the broadcast. Today, this is all about family. If I could sing, I would sing the song. But the thing is, so many times, we do not voice our appreciation for our family, especially the women that was in our family. And I just want to say thank you to all the ladies out there. This is Black History. This is Black History Month. The month that they dedicated for us to celebrate our achievements. And people know all of those traditional ones, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and go on, and Maya Angelou, and going on and on. But today, it was put in my spirit to do something a little different, do something that normally we don't do. We don't celebrate those ladies who are in our family, who is in our lives, whether biological family or community family. And we sit down sometime and we just think about it, where we are and how we got there. We didn't get there on our own. Someone reached out to us. So, lady, someplace, because a man cannot procreate alone. And lots of times we go, oh, Mother's Day. We run out there and take her to the restaurant, buy her all this flowers and stuff on Mother's Day. I'm not knocking Mother's Day. Don't get me wrong. But we need to appreciate a statement or something of appreciation for the women who are in our lives during this Black History Month. So let's see. We have Evangelist Cunningham, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. Good evening.
Yes, yeah, we just can hear you. Sound like you were down in a hole.
I said, yes, I'm here. Good evening. I don't know why I sound that way.
Yeah.
Can you hear
why.
Me?
No, I can faintly hear you. Can you hear me? Maybe it's me.
No, I hear you clearly, very clearly. Your voice is clear.
Okay.
Crystal clear.
Okay. Okay, now I hear you. We have another caller as well. Is that the nurse? No. I invited another one to join us. But let me move along. Our time will be up, and we won't even have gotten started. Today,
hello?
As I stated, hello?
Yeah, this is Ingrid Nurse. How are you?
Oh, good. You're here. Well,
yeah.
Well, we're going to let you be first. We're going to let you
okay.
be first since you're the guest. And if you don't do a good job, I'm going to make a phone call. Because I've got to make sure my cook, my...
She wanted me to add her on the phone. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's even better.
Okay, so you go ahead and let the next person go, and I'm going to add her on. One moment.
Okay, well, you add her, you add her on.
Okay, one moment.
Evangelist Cunningham?
I'm here.
One thing, I am going to start with my grandmama, with both of my grandmamas, my maternal and paternal grandmothers. The one on my mama's side, I didn't know as well. I grew up with the one on my father's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
The one on my mama's side, the thing that I remember about her, she used to make the best German chocolate cake.
No, my mama makes the best German chocolate cake, honey.
Okay, well, you just wait till we get to your mama. You just chill out. I got something for her, too. But I'm talking about my grandmama now. And my grandmama, it's amazing. When I look back at the legacy now, she left us in 1989, I think it was about that time. But her daughter's daughter started a prayer line. She started it on a Saturday, the Sabbath prayer line. What some of us call it and others call it the seventh day prayer line. And she did that, and would you believe grandmama got her grandkids, and that's a great granddaughter, the one that started it, grandkids all the way from Florida to New York. We're on the prayer line every Saturday morning. Every seventh day, I call it seventh day, because some people don't understand the change and how and why it was changed. We really should be worshiped. God did not change the date. God gave us the date, and man changed it from the seventh day to Sunday. And so what I found amazing, most of my cousins, my first cousins that I grew up with, they're gone. They literally have transitioned out of here. And I'm four. But if you read a paper, it will say I'm 77, be 78 next month. So you can sort of see where the transition is taking place. I am the oldest living male on my mama's side. And the thing about it is, whenever we look at it now, the ones that I grew up with were gone. But because of my grandmama, Donella Bullard, what she left, that seed that she had planted in her daughters, who got transmitted to her granddaughters. That was two of them. One of them is a pastor. She retired. And then the great-granddaughter is the one that started the prayer line. And we are there not just praying for the family. We pray for the nation. We pray for international. We are not praying selfish. We are praying based on the scripture. What does the scripture say about the situation? And we are praying solutions. And I'm excited that I look forward to that prayer line every Saturday, Sabbath morning or seventh day. And we see that people are transitioning in their prayer life. It is changing. And to more focus, with focus on a particular situation or circumstance, focusing on the solution, we're inviting God to come in and bring the solution to the problem. then on my other grandmama's side of the family, her contribution to me, what she's living through me, is, again, prayer. They used to pray every Wednesday night, if possible, at Jerusalem United Methodist Church. And what happened, they decided they were going to build a new church. And the pastor decided that he needed the money more than they did, needed a building built. So he stole the money, and they literally had worship in Sunday school in our barn. And they could see the cows. They could hear see the mules while they were worshiping, while they were doing Sunday school. And that was in the 60s. And God blessed them. They were faithful, and they built, the new building was built. And what is it today? Today, on Wednesday night, that is the origin of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I call it a prayer meeting that we do on Wednesday nights. And during my prayer and fasting last fall, we changed it. The Holy Spirit led me to modify it, that every first and third Wednesday, it's praise time. And then on the second and fourth Wednesday, is more of a focused prayer in a particular area that is impacting our community, that we need a direct intervention by the Holy Spirit from Elohim. And just a quick topic that we covered. First, we start out with praying for government and government officials, not just in America, but all over, as well as not just the federal, but at the city council and all the way up, because we realize that the decision that they make might not have a positive impact on us if we do not invoke the power of the Holy Spirit helping them to make those decisions. The next one was for those who are lost. Our prayer was not, well, they're going to die and go to hell. No. Again, it was biblically based. The first one was a lot of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 was the basis. Now, I did that one so I remember that scripture. And then I think it was Psalms 115, verse 16, where God said that heaven is for him and the earth is for the children of men. And then we had a person who was not a member of the group, due from my Saturday seventh day prayer. She prayed and gave us some background on the education system and the youth there and some of the drama that they're going through and some of the solutions that we need an intervention on behalf of the Holy Spirit through Elohim. And then we had the youth. That was last Wednesday. The second Wednesday, it was the youth. And that was just an awesome experience as well. And we focused strictly for the whole time slot. Whatever time the Holy Spirit implores us, that's how long it takes. And then we did the family. I like that song. I just can't sing. And that one, again, was a student was on her and her family, her husband, and they talked about the family, and they prayed for family and family issues. So, today, that's for other reasons. We're going to keep this family going on for a while because the biggest problem that I see is family. So we need a direct intervention in the family. And that's why we're putting out in the atmosphere the names and the things that women in our lives, in our family lives, whether it was Now, the last one is Dr. Frances Quest Wilson. She and I work together in Community Mental Health Center in Washington, D.C. She is a psychiatrist, and she had a major impact on the way that I see race in this country and in the world. So she, I think she came from Chicago. I know she came from Chicago. Now, I can't remember whether it was her mother or father who was a doctor. But she was an activist. She was an AME. Now, are you ready? Oh, first, anybody have any question or any comment about anything that I said? All right, we're going to go to Ingrid. I like to call her nurse. Cause...
Yes, I can be called nurse. Even though it's not my profession, it's my last name. Yes. So we're talking about mothers and good cooking mothers. Is that what we're saying right now for Mildred Nurse? She's on the line also.
Hey,
blessing
all
to be
right.
on.
All right.
Yes. So my
all
mother
right.
is a mother of five, and she cooks everything. I mean, she cooks chitlins. She cooks pastries. And we had an uncle that always said, Lord, that they call my mother nicknamed Nookie. Nookie will know how to do the pastries. She know how to cook. Every time it was something to be done, she'll cook and it would get gone to the pot, down to the griddle. So she got that, honestly, at a young age because she used to cook for her father, and she used to be the main cook out of all three of the girls. She was the main cook that everybody requested. And her husband, being from Barbados, he had a certain way he wanted food, so she was the best cook. He's like, I don't have to go to the restaurant.
All right.
My wife can cook.
All right. Now, since she's on the line, would you like to say something?
I'm just listening and enjoying the conversation, and I do want you to give me the times you say you have those Wednesdays dedicated to family and different things, but I'm just happy to be on this afternoon. I know I was going to hear a lot about good mothers, and that's what it takes in this old land that we live in. And sure enough, you had a blessed one, and I know I had a blessed one, and now I ain't trying to tell about some of my, I don't want to say greatness, but that's what you try to say it is, but I love the Lord, and I just love doing things right, and I cook with love. I don't do anything without
mm-hmm.
in my kitchen without love. I base it on that. I learned to do a seasoning from the Barbados mothers and ladies, and it's a seasoning for everything. Ingrid eats like a chow-chow, but I like to use it on my food to season any kind of meat, even put it in any vegetable you have. It's just good, and it lasts so long, and it's just like a sourdough starter almost. You make the first starter, and you can just add. It never runs out. You just keep adding to it and keep adding on as you need more of it. And that's the way the sourdough starter is. You have to make the starter, and then you can just keep feeding it and feeding. I do that, too. I have a sourdough starter. Again, I'd had it earlier, and then I lost that one. Then I got another one, and it's okay. It's not like the one I had, the original one. And then there's some others out there, and I watch the YouTube stations, and they have it. So I'm just thankful to see that things can be passed on from generation to generation. And you're talking about the prayer. My dad was a person doing, you know, prayer. They had the prayers on Wednesday evenings and things, too. And I'm just grounded in stuff like that, and I just love it. And sometimes, you know, people don't understand the old way. And a lot of times things are better if we leave it with the grace of God on it. Now, it had to be the Holy Spirit, like you say, leading us to continue it. And if it is to be continued, God would allow it. And I'm just thankful this evening. Glad
mm-hmm.
to be with you.
Well, we're glad to have you. And that I taste that love that you were talking about. And I'm waiting for the other slice that my friend, the nurse, did not bring to me. So now, I see we have another caller on.
Okay.
If Are you there, Miss Barfield? Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Now, who you want to make a statement of appreciation for?
Well, of course, that would be, I was blessed because I would say, I couldn't just pick one, but I would say my grandmothers on both sides were loved the Lord. So I saw in them, you know, how to nurture your kids and your grandkids. And, you know, my father's mother, she, my older sister, when she was born, she had some issues where they told my mother she wasn't going to live past 6 months. So my mother always tells us this story on how my grandmother was saying, don't put your faith in the doctor, in man. Just take it to the Lord. So that's what my mother did. But, you know, and I say all that to say I can just remember as a child to always, you know, keep God first and you know, lean on him for everything. And now that I'm older and a mother myself, the same thing happened to me where I had to rely on the Lord to, you know, bring, you know, my son and myself through issues. So I would say something like that. I'm glad that I was a witness to it because good or bad, no matter what you see growing up, you don't forget it. You don't forget it. You know, you can... remember family events. You can, you know how people treated each other. So I was raised around, you know, people that, you know, truly loved not just their family members, just loved people. And I come to find out that the ingredient that caused that love, it had to be the Spirit of God that was in them. So that's what I would say. It went from my grandparents to my mother down to me. And I don't have daughters, but I have sons, you know. That's what I would say.
Well, now, your sons, even though you don't have a daughter, your son is seeing something in you the same way that I saw in my father's mama. And that becomes the what I'm passing on to others. And it is amazing how whenever you really understand those things and well, most people, every time I will hear about generation something, they're always talking about some generation curse. But there is a flip side too. There's a generation blessing. That's what, yeah, I'm adding to it. And what we are passing on now is the blessing that God has given us. And what we saw in our ancestors, we are passing it on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Evangelist?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Amen. Blessings to everyone. Okay.
I would like to add, just thinking of, you know, the most important women in my life were my mother and my grandmother. I didn't, on my mother's side, my mom's mother. My father's mother passed when, you know, I was real young, so I never knew her. So I just heard of her, and I know she was a praying woman and a believer, so just knowing that that was in my lineage on my father's side was a good thing, too. So my grandmother was a believer, and she was a cook, good cook, too. She could cook it all. When we would have gatherings for every year for the holiday, she would, for the Christmas holiday time, she would do all the cooking, and everybody would just have to go there and bring nothing but ourselves and an appetite. So I do know how to make her dressing. I got her dressing recipe. So anytime we would have dinners, I would make the dressing. But what I learned from my grandmother was the love. She was the praying. She was the praying one in the family. She was the one who kept the peace. She was the one who made sure when we had family reunions, she was always the one who would get those planned. And I mean, she cooked up until she would cook the whole meals for like the holidays up until she was. How old was Nanny? We called her Nanny. We didn't call her. She didn't want to be called Grandma. She wanted to be called Nanny. Her name was Isla Mae Adams, and we called her Nanny. And she cooked up until she was in her late 80s, almost 90. And she passed away at 95, almost 96. And she was still thriving until the very last year of her life. But she, I would take her shopping. She would always, every year, everybody knew what they was getting. All the grandchildren, she'd get everybody some socks. She'd get the girls panties, she'd get the boys socks. So I was the one who would take her shopping as I, you know, had got older and moved out of my home and everything. I was the one who, and I love hanging around her because I like hanging around elderly, the seniors and older women. And but she imparted so much in my life, just hearing her conversations, just being around her when she cooked, the you know, downloading good information to me about my life and where the Lord would take my life, and just being around her was just a blessing. My mom, on the other hand, my mother wasn't saved at first. I led my mother to the Lord. So when I grew up, growing up, my mother, she knew about the things of God, but she didn't participate in them. She did her own thing. So I seen a lot, but she still implemented so much in my life. And my mother passed in 96, so I was in my early 30s when my mother passed. So, and I still think about her, and it's been almost 27 years now that she passed. But I still think about her. I still expect to hear that phone ring and hear her on the other end. I still think about her, and all, even with the negativity that I've seen. One, somebody just mentioned that we learn from what we see, and I'm grateful to the Most High that I did not adopt the negativity that I saw. It took me in the other direction, and I'm grateful for that. So a lot of times people can use that as an excuse that they saw so much negativity that that's the way they choose to go too. And that's not always an excuse, because it could have been mine, but it wasn't. I've had a different mind, a frame of thought. So I wasn't raised in, per se, a Christian home, but at a young age, I was drawn to the church. I wanted to go to church. And my mama would make sure I got there, you know. So I'm grateful for that, too. And I think it had something to do. I know it had something to do with my grandmother on my mother's side, because she was, as I stated, a praying woman, a believing woman. So I'm just grateful. Those two women did more impact in my life. Though my mother, I feel, got up out of here prematurely. That's something I will always believe. But it's kind of at her choice as well. So I'm just grateful for what all they did implement in my life. My mom, the good, the bad, and the ugly that I saw, it helped mold me and shape me to the woman of God that I am today, and I'm grateful for that. All the things my grandmother instilled in my life, I'm grateful for that. So it's just a blessing when you can have that in your life and be able to say that. And then as I'm hearing everyone else talk, I think everybody else who I've heard speak out, your mothers are still here. Cherish every single moment. There are so many days I wish my mom was still here where I can talk that junk. My mom was one of my biggest supporters in ministry. I was already teaching the word before she passed, but I did not accept the calling on my life until the year after. when the tug kept being pulled on me from the Holy Spirit. So my thing is just cherish your mothers like never before. Love your mothers like never before. Do whatever it is you can do to bring joy to your mother. I was good to my mom, and when she left here, I didn't, you know, I had no regrets. I actually did her makeup, and our hairstylist did her hair, you know, for her, you know, burial. So I didn't want anybody to touch her. I touched her myself, her corpse, so to speak. So I'm just grateful I was able to do that, you know, and because of the love that I had for my mother and the love that my mother had for me. She was my biggest cheerleader, and I'll never forget that. And I can still hear her say, "You go, girl. You go, girl." She was saying that back when I was a young girl, and then they started coming out with that a few years, really hearing it. But my mom was already telling me that, so that wasn't nothing new to me. She would tell me, "You go, girl." So I'm just grateful that we're talking, and Apostle, I appreciate you being led by the Holy Spirit to do something a little different in reference to Black History Month, where we're sharing about the important women in our lives. So I'm just grateful. Just a blessing to be able to continue to talk about my mom.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment now, since we're the only ones that have called in, but there are more who are listening by computer someplace around the earth? All right. Well, if that was quicker than I thought. So the end, I won't say end it because nothing ends. Nothing ends. Life doesn't end. That's Western theological interpretation of life. Life is eternal. Our spirit just goes back to the Creator from whence it came. But I'd like to do two things. If nobody else have any comments that they would like to make.
Other than God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, my mama was in a relationship that when I look back at the relationship that she was in, my father he was good during the week, but on the weekend he had certain issues. Now, but when I was in college, my mama I could depend on her for my little snacks that she would send. Or I could depend on her to send me a cup of dollars. And whenever I learned later what she was doing, she worked in the New Jersey State Mental Institution that hosts for the criminal insane there in Trenton, New Jersey. But she worked a little part-time job, and that's partially what she used to send me a couple of dollars. She had more influence on me from a worldly perspective. I want y'all to hear me. I came to alcohol consumption. That was one of my favorite things. And what she did, what she told me, stopped me from really wanting to drink. My father, we had this little conversation. I never forget to stand up there in the kitchen in the house. We had, they bought this house in Trenton, New Jersey, because I was going home in between semesters. And my father said, "How are you going to be drinking and you're going to be a preacher?" Well, he didn't know that I was not going to be a preacher. He didn't know that my commitment to God was that I stay in the heaven profession, but I couldn't be a preacher at that time. And He asked me that question, and then I looked at him, and then my mama said, if you're going to drink, I'd rather for you to drink right here in the house. And I'm standing there. That takes all the fun out of it. You drank out with your friends. And I thought about what you said. And that curtailed my consumption of alcohol in the street. Because my father, he didn't have to worry about me bothering his because he drunk old granddad. And I couldn't handle that. But my mama, that's what she told, what she said to me. Thank you, Evangelist. I'm going to tell her that tomorrow whenever I see her. And I'm going to thank her for that and for what she did. And lastly, I thank God for each and every one of you on this line. You do not know what you have contributed to my ministry or to the ministry God is doing through me. I'm going to call you out. Barfield, you're a student. I saw spiritual growth in you, and you are the one student that affirmed my commitment to that college. It was to the student. And whenever I looked at it one day, my commitment was to work with youth and elderly. And you were the reason that God, one of the reasons that God, that the Holy Spirit put me in the position that I was in to teach that course. And I'm just telling you now, I thank you. You have affirmed the fact that my purpose there was for the students. Nothing else but for the students. And he should use you to show me that. Nurse?
Thank you.
Whenever I would get attitude big time at the class, here you go. Here you go, trying to just calm me down. And I thank you for that. Because at one point, I was ready to walk away. I didn't feel I needed that hassle on from the administration or from the students. And that's what I saw God place, the Elohim place you in my path, and that's what you have contributed. And whenever I ask you if you will be the secretary for Global Coalition Training Institute, and you responded in the affirmative. You then asked me what all of them questions that most people ask. You saw it was a ministry, and you sign on. Also, Barfield, that was the way that last class, I committed to the previous president that I would do that class so that you could graduate. And if they wanted to, you could have a minor in business in that church administration class. That was the spirit behind the development of that class. And I've been looking for somebody to make cakes similar to my grandmama. And Nurse Mother makes awesome, awesome carrot cake. So, yeah, I anybody want a carrot cake made that can't make carrot cake, you might be able to contract with Madam Nurse to make you a carrot cake. And I didn't get to sample the last one that she made. I think somebody purposely did not arrive, bring it to me, or did not arrange where I could pick it up. I'm not calling any names on that one.
The German chocolate cake. I'm going to get you it. It's Ingrid, I forgot to give you your cake. I'm getting a German chocolate cake this week.
All right, long as it's done with love, don't push your mama to just throw it together. Let her do it on her time. And
yes,
the evangelist, yeah, I'm sneaking in. What love got to do with it? Now you know what love got to do with it from my perspective. She put loves in her cake. And not lastly.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Amen.
Lastly, Evangelist Director. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Did I get your name right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. I never use her first name because I always mispronounce it. And I hate people who mispronounce my middle name. That's why I don't use it. And I will pronounce it for you. It's Jeron. It's French. People call it Jereen and all kinds of names. So I don't bother. Now, back to you. When I was going through what I was going through in terms of dealing with my wife and her situation, you were on the prayer line, and I listened. And well, you had met whatever the challenge you walked through, whatever you walked through when you were going through your situation. Our meeting was not coincidence. It was the divine spirit that put us on the same path. Because your ministry, you and your husband's ministry, is similar to my wife and our ministry. We did what we call Church Beyond the Walls in Baltimore. That was after I left the United Methodist denomination. We had home church. We had biblical studies. We didn't call it Bible studies, biblical studies. And we had as many, about 10 people, as many as 10, and as few as, on a regular basis, a few as 4. And we had a meal, and we would feed, and that's when we would do communion. And also we worked with an Hispanic group that we fed on the 4 Saturdays. We fed a full course meal to the homeless who were on the street. And I just saw all of that, the similarities and between the ministry. But I just thank God for you, as I thank God for all of them, but I thank God for you in terms of the ministry. You have stepped in, and as I stated to you, Madam Vice President of Global Coalition Training Institute, I thank you for assuming that responsibility, and I can be pushy, and you know that, but you always have a way of, like, what love got to do with it.
What love got to do with it, yes, sir. That message.
Yeah, I'll explain that right quick in a hot second. But, yeah, I just thank God for you all. And this wasn't no coincidence. This was by design for the Holy Spirit is what brought us all here together tonight at this time. And the focus on family. And whenever we look at family, you got your biological family and you got your community family. And we have elevated and put the names of those ladies that were significant in our lives out in the universe. The joke behind what love got to do with it. We were at a chiropractor. Yeah, now this is a plug. You can give a plug for the chiropractor now. We were at the chiropractor's on yesterday, and she hollered, "I love you." What's his name? Mark?
Dr. Mark, SuperNet. Dr. Mark.
Dr. Mark, yeah. She expressed her feelings, and she loved him. And I looked at her, what love got to do with it? And this morning, her message was, what love got to do with it? And then the end, the answer to that was everything. So,
yeah.
Anybody have any questions or any comment that they'd love to make at this point? The mic is yours. The silent meme completion. That this segment is completed.
I just wanted to make sure that we all could all know that we need to go and grow and spread the love of Jesus everywhere we go. Because I'm doing a lot of black stuff in the Black History Month, and I'm singing old Negro spirituals like Wade in the Water and Sooner We'll Be Done with the Troubles of the World. Things on that order. So make sure each one reach one and spread the growth of Jesus as long as the growth of goodness in this world of chaos.
Hey, would you like to close us out with a song?
Yes, I'll be glad to do that.
Pass the plate.
Okay.
Don't pass the plate because we're not making any donations.
No, we're not. We're not making a donation. So I'm gonna sing a little bit of "Sooner We'll Be Done with the Troubles of the World, Going Home to Live with God." Okay. Sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world, troubles of the world, troubles of the world. Sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world, going home to live with God. No more weeping and a wailing, no more weeping and a wailing, no more weeping and a wailing, going home to live with God. Sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world, troubles of the world, troubles of the world. Sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world, going home to live with God. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I would be remiss if I wouldn't say I thank God for my wife, even what she's going through now. So, and I thank y'all again for y'all's prayers for her. And that was excellent, nurse. So you can sing for me anytime whenever I start this, when the divine spirit gives us this building. All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Blessings unto all.
Amen.
Shalom.